Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Today's program was brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Good morning, everybody. This is my morning, 3 p.m. Sunday, live from Roberta's the morning after Heritage Radio Network. You can follow me at the Jason Colucci live Twitter. Bennett Jaslik, social media expert. Bennett, we have a lot of tags today. We have Ronnie Beaches, one of our guests, his tag on. We have Guga Muga. We have at Heritage Foods USA. Jack, do you have a direct Twitter?
I'm at Jack Inslee.
Oh, how selfish of you to use that name.
Really?
It's been a busy week. I'm a little exhausted.
You sound under the weather, man.
You know, I could pull that whole pollen like thing, but it's not. I was out late last night. I'm consulting a restaurant, and for anyone who wants to know a code for consulting, it's basically it's the asshole, if anyone uses that word in restaurant, because it's basically you're going in and just reminding people kind of how to properly run their restaurant.
And they don't always listen.
Arthur Schwartz, how are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Arthur Schwartz, you are our main guest today. I'm so happy that you are you're the second time here, your second appearance.
I have a lot of fun here.
You're kind of becoming our Bette Midler, if you will.
What is that
on the
mean?
Show? Meaning that you're like, I'm like Carson, and you're coming on the show a lot.
You repeat twice guys. Counts as a lot.
Well, you know, when you've only done I think
I just read this about sex.
We're on episode 29.
It's not who does it with you, but it's who does it with you again.
One, tell me right. And I think this is a lively bunch, so I want everybody to give a station ID. Well, not necessarily station ID. We'll just identify yourselves. Ronnie Beach, say hello, please.
Hello, I'm Ron Beach.
And why are you here, Ron Beach?
Well, you're just so damn sexy, I couldn't help myself. So.
I have a face for radio, yes.
Yeah.
And Nick Africano, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
And you're promoting an album today?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time here on The Morning After.
Thanks for having me.
Very well dressed. Arthur, we have a dilemma. Like most New Yorkers, came in today, and most of our time was taken up with where are we eating after the show?
And we still have... Oh, yeah, we did decide.
Where are we going?
Is it called 18 now? Yeah, I say now because...
Here we go. I love it. It's always...
No, it's 18 on 8th. It's on... But it's number 18. I guess it's number 18. It's on 8th Avenue in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
In the Sunset Park neighborhood. And it's a Chinese seafood restaurant. But they used to call themselves something else, and before that, something else. I think they have either health department problems or tax problems.
Or tax problems. It's either one. I would say in the 80s it was probably tax, 90s probably labor, and now it's probably health department.
Yeah, it's not labor for sure.
Okay. And you,
so they, but it's the same restaurant no matter what the name.
Yeah, same people. Same
it's the same everything. So the only thing they changed this time around was they put some slip covers over the chairs, and those are filthy and wrinkled now. So the health department should probably come back.
And you have a list. I'm going to have you help me with my intro here because.
Well, let me just say, I've been around for so long.
No.
Yeah, I have. Longer than you.
Okay.
I mean, I've been.
I've been reporting.
You listened to me in the baby seat in the back of the car.
I was listening to you when I was delivering for Andrew and Allen's Bakery on Saturdays. I would listen to your show, and it'd always be some yenta would call up and be like, I got a prime roast. I don't know how long to keep it in the oven for. Should it be 45 minutes or an hour and a half? I'm like, don't you listen to the show? 20 callers ago was the same question.
Exactly. And the other thing was on Fridays, they all wanted to know where to eat in the theater district as if they had never listened to the show before. But for 12 years, I repeated the same information. Now I think there actually are a few decent places to eat in the theater district, but back then, not many.
And there's an event going on right across from where you live, that sprawling apartment that you have on the park.
Yeah.
There's an event. Jack, Guga Muga?
You mean the trucks, the food trucks?
No, this is even bigger.
You told me about Guga Muga.
The great Guga Muga, which is sort of the guys from Bonnaroo. Jack, is there a company name that does that?
Superfly.
Superfly. Our guys over
and
at
it's
Superfly.
A food festival in Prospect Park.
Music. It's our Woodstock, if you will.
When is this?
It is May
19th and 20th, I believe.
Exactly. That,
I'll be in town.
Yeah.
And we're in negotiations. I don't want to say anything, but yeah. May 20th, we're probably doing the radio show. Oh, from there. You should come.
I'll stop by.
Come and say hello.
Jason, you know Hall & Oates are going to be there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, can now you, I don't know who the bigger draw is.
Bob, can you sing, a song for us? She's a rich girl, but you know too far, because you know it don't matter anyway.
You sing much better than I do.
Well, you have a list of restaurants. No, so you're kind deal. Of, you're, no, Arthur, you're out of the loop. You're out of the loop
I'm
now.
Out of, I'm,
admittingly out of the
I
loop.
Am, no, not admittedly. Proudly out
okay.
of the loop.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I've been trying to go, you know, cold turkey on restaurants for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because after 35 years of being a restaurant critic, the last thing I want to do is eat out. Especially these days where most restaurants are for a different generation than me. I'll put it that way. So I eat at home, unless it's food that I don't cook well, which is Asian food. So I go out for that. And I go out for pizza. Although I do make great pizza, it's too much trouble.
I can date you right now. Tell everyone who found you your first apartment in New York. That'll date you
James
right there.
Beard.
Yeah, James Beard found you first apartment, and you wrote your first book.
It was
there,
actually
right?
my second apartment, but the first one was just a... I got divorced, and it was a temporary situation, and I said to James, I can't find anything. We called him James. He preferred that to Jim, which is what everybody thinks he liked to be called. In any case...
Exclusive.
He found me this apartment with a decent kitchen. That was the whole point. It was very difficult to find a decent kitchen in Greenwich Village in those days. It probably still is. But now I have a nice kitchen. And I live in Brooklyn, where I belong.
And in the next segment, we're going to talk about a trip you had. Please don't
right.
do it.
But I went. On, but the thing is, I went. On, I thought, well, you know, I'm going on this hip radio show. Maybe I should know something
Thank
hip.
You. Yeah.
So I go online to find out like where everybody's going to eat.
Yeah, but you printed out basically.
I printed
PR.
It out because I realized that I not only don't I know any of these restaurants for the last 3 months listed, 4 months listed on Eater that they say are the hot places to go, but I never even heard of the chefs
yeah.
that they refer to by only last name or only first name.
But Arthur, you got to take that with a grain of salt. You got to take that with a grain of salt
I'm
because
sure I
when
do.
You
yeah,
were when you pounds. When you were sort of creating the canon of yeah. food thought, it was coming from critics and stuff. Now it's a lot of the PR. Who has the biggest PR machine? So a lot of those places on there are great, but they have, you know, they're on that list because they're, you know, they're paying a lot of upfront PR.
I think it's like $5,000 a month. I don't know. Here's a little place on Wythe Street in Brooklyn, right near here where we're sitting. And I thought the description of this read like a parody you might see on Saturday Night Live. For three nights a week, Cortone Vets. Well, Cortone is the last incarnation of Montrachet.
And that's...
Where you used to work.
Yeah, well, I didn't work particularly at Montrachet. I worked at Cortone.
At Cortone, yeah okay. So you know
yeah.
these guys.
Yeah.
For three nights a week, mind you, only three, Cortone Vets, Richard Quo, and Frederick Berselius are serving $45 tastings of inventive... But accessible Nordic-inspired cuisine.
The Nordic
inside
so hot,
a gallery.
So hot right now.
Isn't this a parody of a restaurant?
It seems like something you see Fred Armisen or something kind
yeah, yeah.
of doing.
What do they do the other Portland, two nights yeah. that they're not providing inventive but accessible Nordic-inspired cuisine? Are they doing Chinese? I don't know. One of them is Chinese, I think.
On that note, you know, let's take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk to you about. What happened? You just did a trip. You're kind of.
I went on a 2 month odyssey.
You did.
Yeah.
You've taken some time off. You're out. You're just kind of finding. You're refining yourself.
Actually, I have
you're
nothing better to do.
We'll come back. We'll talk about that morning after.
All-natural Cinco de Mayo celebration this year with Whole Foods Market. We're stocking up on ripe avocados, bright red tomatoes, and juicy limes for you do-it-yourselfers. Not up for mashing, chopping, and mixing? Many of our guacamoles and salsas are made in-house daily. For Cinco de Mayo recipes, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
It's Cinco de Mayo. Este sábado, Cinco de Mayo. We're back on, Arthur Schwartz. We're back on. The consummate pro always... You know, last time Arthur was on, his phone went off.
I shut it off today.
Okay. You're here.
I'm not good with a phone.
You've traveled the world.
Yeah.
And you're back to tell us a story.
I'm thrilled to be back. Let me just say that. And I was in, San Francisco. Good food town, I guess. Wasn't there that long. We were in Oakland / Berkeley for an afternoon. Could not find the place to even get into. Then we went to Honolulu, which is where my partner Bob Harned grew up. And that was a lot of fun because we saw, like, his childhood and family friends. And did we eat well? Oh, you know, it was very funny. We ate at a place called L&B Barbecue, which is a chain all over Oahu.
I've seen this place before.
Yeah. So now
I think Obama was a French fry guy there back when he was a teenager.
Maybe. But they have, the best teriyaki you've ever had in your life. But real joint kind of place. I loved it. So we go to a party at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, and we have a friend there, and she's who spends a lot of time in New York because she's an actress, and she said, "Oh, you know, there's an L&L in Lower Manhattan now. It's just the same."
Yeah.
So I after doing that, Australia,
that same great teriyaki flavor,
Bali. I'll tell you, Bali, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, finally Hong Kong. There was almost nothing we couldn't get in Brooklyn. Really. And as good sometimes, too. The only place I think I ate extraordinarily well that I couldn't get in Brooklyn was in Hong Kong. The food in Hong Kong was amazing.
Expensive?
No, it wasn't. Well, we didn't go to expensive places. There are many expensive places, I'm sure. But we went to this dim sum restaurant right by the port called Jade Garden. Is that what it was called, Barb? Bob? In English, Jade Garden. And
it was on a cruise.
I've seen that name before.
It's
like every Chinese food small town.
So that we loved this place. So we thought it was going to be too touristic because of the location, etc. It was in English, but in fact, it was fabulous, and we were the only Caucasians in the place, and very good service too. It wasn't expensive at all. It was like maybe $50 for two people for dim sum. Much cheaper, by the way, than the number one dim sum place in San Francisco,
which is,
I don't remember
Bob,
the name.
Bob, you're the one who remembers everything.
Bob is the memory.
Bob is the memory side.
What? The Chinese dim sum place in San Francisco. It'll come to us.
But you also said
we're old. We have senior moments.
But you guys also said you've been doing some writing.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm back at sending out my newsletter, which is an old-fashioned idea. Yeah. It started before the word blog was invented, so that's why it's not a blog.
It was popular a lot.
And
of
also,
radio
I don't believe in the short form. You know, for so many years I wrote for daily newspapers, I had to do it short. Now that it's my own, I can write long. So if you like reading, you can sign up for my newsletter by just going to my website, thefoodmaven.com. www.thefoodmaven.com, and just put your email address in the subscription box. I'm doing a lot of nostalgia lately because I'm feeling old, but I also provide a lot of recipes, and I don't eat out that much, but once in a while a restaurant recommendation.
I was happy enough to come over your home. I cooked for you. Butternut squash.
Gnocchi.
And then I got the grand tour, and you are a collector of, like myself, of restaurant memorabilia.
Say in French, chazerai. That's a Yiddish word, sorry.
What is your... You have the plates... Do you have any Titanic memorabilia?
No, I don't.
Okay. But you have some cool stuff.
I collect copper. I cook, so I like copper cookware, and I've been doing it all my life, so I have a lot of copper.
My retirement copper.
Oh, yes. Bob is reminding me. I have a lot of restaurant memorabilia, including ashtrays, matches. I have dinner plates from the old Delmonico's. But my main prize is I have the mosaic plaque that hung next to the front door of Lundy's in Sheepshead Bay, the great seafood restaurant, long gone. The building is still there because it's a historic landmark, a mission-style California building in Brooklyn.
Okay, so I'm an old lady calling up. Arthur, I need a great red sauce Italian place. One in Manhattan, one in Brooklyn. I know you haven't eaten it, but they're still. That's a common question. A lot of people want to go back and have that stuff, and there's so much fluff out there.
I'm tempted to recommend one of like the old places in Bensonhurst, but on the other hand, I have to say Frankie Spuntino on Court Street.
There you go.
Makes sensational food
at the Great Gugamuga.
At what, 457 Court Street. Are they going to be at the Great Google?
Bennett, Google? can you tweet at Frank Castrofinovo, and then we're following them.
Frankie's is great, and I just went to a birthday party in one of those back rooms. By the way, those back rooms are
pretty cool.
Totally cool. They used to be stables. That was an old blacksmith shop where Frankie's is now.
Did you have your horses there when you were?
No, I didn't. No, they were in Bergen Beach. Remember, I'm a Brooklyn boy. Don't laugh about that. You had horses on Staten Island too.
No, but my apartment was a stable too, and the rings are still my apartment. Really? Yeah, the rings are still there. And people are like, "What's going on?"
I must say the food was fabulous. In Bensonhurst, there's a place called Sorrentino that's very good.
Okay. Yeah. And that's just your classic chicken parm, veal.
Well, I prefer veal parm, but yeah, okay.
When did that crap happen where like they framed the menu, chicken, veal, this, and then it said franchise, parmesan. What was that in the beginning, or it went that way?
Well, chicken came later. Chicken, all the parms other than veal parmigiana came, I think, in the 1960s or even the 70s. I mean, they really... Chicken cutlets were not a common food until the 1970s, believe it or not. I remember writing when I started as a newspaper food editor in the late 60s. I remember writing stories about how to bone out a chicken breast so you could have a chicken cutlet, because it wasn't that common to be able to buy a chicken cutlet in the supermarket, believe it or not.
And where were you writing at the time?
Newsday.
Oh, really?
On Long Island.
And that was your... And then
that was like, right, almost right out of college, I went to Newsday. One year, I actually taught here in Bushwick. I taught elementary school. I was the only male kindergarten teacher in New York City that year. I played piano, so they gave me kindergarten.
Tell us one great story.
Yeah.
Give us an exclusive here at the morning after. We're going to take a break. Something a little scandalous, maybe. Tell us a funny industry
scandalous
story that everyone knows.
Joe Bastianich? I jumped on him the last time.
Yeah, you jumped on Joe. You got Joe Bastianich the last time.
Somebody says scandalous story.
Let's get another legacy kid. Aaron Sanchez. You said something.
Who? Oh, Aaron Sanchez. I know Aaron since he's a little boy, because I'm very good friends with his mother, Sarela Martinez. Oh, yeah, well, the funny thing with that, here's a cute story about Aaron. Aaron grew up in, Aaron basically grew up in New York.
Yeah.
And not, in a Hispanic milieu at all. I mean, his mother was friends with Mary McFadden. I mean, she had all these fashionable New York friends. So when Aaron just started cooking professionally, and he had to learn a little kitchen Spanish, because everybody in the kitchen, they're Mexican, they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
He came, one day I was cooking with him and his mother at her house, and he started speaking Spanish to her. And she turned around, put her hands on her hips, and says, I'm your mother. I understand. I know you don't speak Spanish. He was making it up.
That's a great story. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll talk a couple more minutes, and I'm going to talk to a fellow Rockport College alum, Ronnie Beach. Or Ron Beach. Beer talk here. We're talking beer here at the morning after. Ronnie, you brought up a beer I like as well, and I'm not a big beer guy, Pork Slap.
Yeah, Pork Slap. It's the Butternut Brewing Company upstate.
And they have like four brands. They do the
Pork Slap.
Yeah. Well, it's I always say Pork Slap because that's my favorite. It's the IPA they make. But it's the company is Butternut, and they have, I think, four or five actual... different microbrews. Yeah,
I like a hoppy.
They do a cream. IPA, they do an IPA.
Yeah, well, I met them years ago too. They're actually when they first opened, they sponsored an exhibition I was doing about like 7 years ago. So,
hey, Ronnie, you have an interesting story because we Arthur. I'm sorry.
Are we on the radio?
We are. Yeah.
No, I didn't realize.
Yeah. Oh, the consummate professional.
The it's the constant conversation.
The consummate professional. You have an interesting story. We went to the same school, and you were a year.
What school was it?
2 years.
2 years behind. A small liberal arts school called Main Media College. Now they call it. It was called Rockport College at the time.
Well, it's kind of. In my opinion, I think it's really how all colleges should be structured. More mentoring rather than just kind of telling you the bottom line of how you have to be to get a job.
Yeah, so. The core class, like they, it was basically as close as they can get to some kind of an English class that had to deal with digital arts or writing or filmmaking. Chemistry, okay, we're gonna show you how to process film.
Well, you have to explain to people. We went to school, and our class was only about 50 people, and I'm talking like class meaning like every
the sophomore class, the junior class, yeah.
And then we knew so everybody. it was like an art commune. We all ate together, we worked together,
and you
had Friday night lobster night.
Yeah, Friday night lobster night, lobster tickets. Well, it was in Maine.
Yep.
But you're incredibly talented artist, and you do a lot of exhibitions. You travel around. You have a studio actually right across from here. But you wanted to come on and talk about a particular cause that you're behind. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I'm
you
actually
started.
You know, well, this was a we're talking about a project right now. It's actually kind of got put on a little bit of a standstill for just a moment. But I I'd love to actually talk about. A collective that I started about a year ago called FTA. It's the Feed the Animals Collective. And, basically, what this company is it's a group of creatives from all industries, all kind of pooling together to create like a better in-house, method of working for our clients. So, whether that be developing content for brands, creating interiors for restaurants.
So you'll grab like so another friend of ours at the Surf Beaver, Matt Bourgeois, who's in town. Like you'll grab a bunch of other talented people in their respective fields, work together, and go to a client. And is that kind of what it is?
Well, exactly. After working in a an artistic and a commercial industries for the last about 10 years, you start to realize there's a major gap in these boutique agencies. So if you kind of just focus on advertising, if you just focus on editing or designing, there's a gap at some point in the development of the project, where you're kind of lose touch with, the final product. So, if you're a designer, which we have an in-house, fabrication design team, and you design a product, but you have to outsource your fabrication to someone else, there's a communication gap at some point where you have to, whether it's in an email or send a drawing, and it's better to keep it all in one place because then the lines of communication never get broken.
And you Fashion Week just passed, and you were doing I think you're talking about Adidas or Puma. Did you do like a big installation?
Well, yeah, we also as a collective, we've adopted the mentality that we are not just FTA. We're a much larger community, so we actually have alliances with a lot of different companies. So Lamb Studios is a company I've been working with now for probably about the last 5 years. Amazing design company. She designed a amazing set for Puma for Sidella Marley's new launch and Hussein Bolt's new launch. And FTA came along and collaborated with her and built the entire set. And
Hussein Bolt, that's the Jamaican sprinter?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, Sidella Marley is Bob Marley's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the Bob Marley just came out at Magnolia Pictures. Recent guest on the morning after at Hero Dreams of Sushi. It all ties in, and we're all part of one. We're all together.
Mm-hmm. Jamaica's an amazing place.
And you that's a special area to your heart. This is a sort of a place that you visit.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Jamaica.
I've been working on a project there with this gentleman, Gary Robinson, and also my new fiance. who I got.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Much mazel to you.
We got engaged in Jamaica.
Oh, awesome.
Romantic.
So, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We were there working too, so she had no clue.
You're such a hip. How 80s of you? I'm kidding.
Well, I was actually so nervous and intoxicated after a long day of working that you know I wanted to drop to my knee, but instead I dropped us down into a chair, you know, that were parallel from each other, and asked her to marry me, and she looked at me and didn't say anything for about 10 minutes. So I got nervous. She said it was, you know, she might have been smoking something earlier, and you know, I don't know.
Reaction time was slowed down a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of all of the artists, people I know that have come out of the school, I have to say I have a lot of respect for you because you've managed to sort of always have forward progress, and be organized in a way.
I wouldn't say organized.
Well,
but,
in a sense,
that was a bad thing to say to him as an artist.
In a sense, you have a company.
Yep.
You're a legit company.
Yep.
You have insurance.
Yep.
You do this. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what separates some great artists from not so great artists and stuff. So you're very focused.
From the ones who can remain artists to the ones who have to give it up because they don't have any money.
Well, that was part of the issue. I was able to survive for probably about 5 years solely as an artist, but I was kind of living a very minimal lifestyle. You know, still surviving in New York, that's still a good lifestyle. But started to realize there was a way to cross over and not lose, my soul.
Right.
And it was to, take it to a commercial end. But really, once you have a complete control of concept and development... You can do whatever you want. And it's also supporting a lot of other artists.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best thing about the collective is the amount of people... within a year, we're already supporting about 15 people. We have 3 full-timers and about 15... or even more, freelancers that work with us.
Nick Africano, you're sort of in the same kind of boat with all of us here as, having a passion and creating and doing an album right now. How do you manage to stay focused with everything going on and all the gigs and pushing the album and doing appearances and stuff like that?
Well, it's difficult. And at some point, you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that these places exist where you can seek that help. Recently, this is the first time I've hired a publicist.
Yeah.
But it can be hard to manage when what you want to do is spend your time creating something and then being pushed into the business and the promotion and the marketing aspect. And I think a lot of artists these days either are forced to take it all on themselves or want to for good reasons and for reasons that I think become overwhelming and overbearing. I'm trying to balance that currently with the release of this record, and I've done most of it myself, and I finally have hired a publicist. I'm seeking other outlets as well, but yeah, it can be hard to balance. But.
And the album's ready to go. And what's the name?
It is finished. It's called the Butterfly Bull.
Butterfly Bull.
Yes.
Is there any kind of? I love getting into the head of like where does that come from, or is it just some random saying that you have?
No, it was a drawing by a Spanish painter, Francisco de Goya, and I have a long love for things Spanish. I lived there. I worked at Tertulia, Spanish restaurants, and my friend brought me back this notebook with a drawing on the cover that was El Toro Mariposa, the butterfly bull. It's a bull being carried by butterflies. And I thought it was... I had never identified with an image so much, and I began to write one word at a time in that notebook, and that became the album. That was a couple of years ago.
Speaking of Goya, Ronnie, your work, your paintings have a Goya feel to them. The colors, your colors, you do those like sort of vibrant... reds and stuff.
I think the intensity of them is related to it as well. So,
and Nick, you're going to play a song in the next segment, and
yes,
so before, we'll take a break eventually, and then we'll go. But we'll go right into that. So we can talk a little bit about the song that you're going to play. What song?
This song I'll play will be called "Heart of Dreams," and it's sort of about being in the middle of something and not really recognizing it, or walking around with your hands over your eyes, and all of a sudden you get a glimpse of the real thing, but you know, it's only for a second.
Arthur, do you feel back in this place now? You went out to Asia, you pulled yourself back, you're kind of in a sort of this creative fire going again?
A little bit.
Does this inspire you at all to hear
a low flame?
Does this inspire you at all to hear young artists talk about just the creative process?
Yes, what was interesting to me is that the world has changed so much that now artists are required to market their own products. And, right. You know, as I guess, I'm sorry.
Ron said,
he would prefer to be creating something rather than selling something.
Exactly.
But so what happened to all the marketeers? It's the same in books,
on,
by the way.
They're on TBS.
Found Britney Spears.
Mad Men.
A friend of mine who writes cookbooks, she said, you know, now they just basically print the books, the publishers. They expect
can cherry pick.
They do all the, you have to
There's
do
no
all
passion.
The marketing.
Right.
And in fact, you don't even get a gig unless you have a platform, as they call it,
right,
to market yourself. It's really upsetting to me. Because creative people should be allowed to just create.
Did you ever go over to the factory, Andy Warhol? You were kind of in New York.
No,
that
I
time.
Did, yeah, I was around, but no, I was never invited. I did go to Studio 54.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was not much different than I guess discos are now or clubs are now. I went to a Sweet 16 party the other day. Brought back Studio 54 for me.
Are you serious?
Were they all
coke? Were they doing coke?
No,
with
no
Michael
drugs.
Jack-
no,
with
without
Michael
the
Jackson,
drugs, no. Without the drugs. But you know, it was the
kid,
same old.
One kid tried to sneak in some.
Yeah, there was a kid. Oh. Try to sneak in alcohol.
Can I find that Michael Jackson performer on Craigslist? Is that possible? Because I have, you know, I'm going to have kids one day. So.
No, I used to go to Max's Kansas City, where a lot of those people hung out in those days, and there was music at Max's, and there was a very artistic crowd at Max's. But I never went to the factory.
All right, let's go. Let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll Nick, you got it. We'll tune up during the commercial break. Cool. Morning after. We're back. Morning after. Heated discussions here. I love it. I feel like I'm at the factory right now.
Jean-Michel
Basquiat and Andy Warhol and Mick Jagger hanging out. And your place is kind of like the factory, Ron.
Yeah, yeah. I say we just take one of these places over and start a factory again. Fuck it.
Let's do it.
I think you're allowed to say that.
Oh, was I allowed to say that?
You're sweet, man.
Bro, we just got fined by the FCC.
Sorry. I live in the East Village. I'm so gentrified now.
All right.
You know, I used that word on the street the other day, and somebody reprimanded me. A father walking with his kid. So apparently you're not even allowed to say that on the open street anymore.
So Arthur, are you ready? Are we ready for... We're all ready here for Mr. Africano?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Looking forward.
Nick, go ahead.
Just how I closest things to us that we can't see. I've been where the earth is red, the deserts cross, the mountains bled. I've been where the ground's been gray. But I ain't been anywhere I could stay. Look at the sky, if I could show you the sky. Sit beneath it, a queen and a prince. There'd be nothing more we'd need, nothing more to believe. Sit there, just happy to have a glimpse. Oh, I've been where the earth is red, the deserts cross, the mountains bled. I've been where the ground's been gray. But I ain't been anywhere I could stay. Open all the mysteries around, but the moon is in my blood and it drives me from town to town. I'm in the heart of my dreams, but it's the closest things to us that we can't see. I've been where the earth is red, the deserts cross, the mountains bled. I've been where the ground's been gray. But I ain't been anywhere I could stay. Oh, I've been where the earth is red, the deserts cross, the mountains bled. I've been where the ground is painted gray.
Awesome. Jess, you want to come in the studio for 2 minutes? Thanks, Mr. Avocano. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Avocano. Is it hit iTunes? At what point can we...
So this album with this song on it will be ready on Tuesday, May 1st, and it's going to be on Bandcamp at first. So okay. NickAvocano.bandcamp.com, and then eventually on iTunes.
Awesome. And you have any dates coming up?
Yeah, the release show for this album is May 4th, Friday, next Friday at the Living Room. And it's free.
And anyone can come and just hang out and listen to some music?
Yeah, it's free. My fiance is also performing after me. The whole night begins at 8. I'll play at 10 o'clock. But yeah, it should be a really great night.
Awesome, man. That was another great performance. Jess,
thank you.
With Jesse Kiefer, grab a mic real quick. How are you, by the way? How are you feeling? Feel a little better?
I feel like I gave my sickness to you. I'm sorry. And then Aaron's homesick too.
It's the pollen. It's the pollen.
Sure.
It's a very bad pollen day.
really bad pollen.
How are we looking,
liquid pollen.
How are we looking in the next few weeks?
Fantastic.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Next week we've got Harry Rosenblum from Brooklyn Kitchen.
Oh.
Well. So that should be great. I watched him saber a bottle of champagne.
Oh, really?
Was it a Girola? Yeah,
was
on
it
video.
A,
yeah.
Was it a Girola bomb? What do you
Balthazar? So first he had just like a serious knife, and then the next one was he actually got a sword, like a long, long sword, which, I mean, that's legit.
And what else we got going on in the next few weeks?
Well, hopefully Googa Mooga.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, right? Yeah. James Beard's happening.
Oh, James Beard Awards.
You're
going to
be Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, that's right. You know,
I'll be Juliana Rancic.
His birthday?
Maybe.
It's the James. When is it on his birthday? Is that
yes,
the deal?
Yes, it's on his birthday.
It's usually on a Monday.
I believe. Well, it's May 5th is his birthday.
Okay.
So it's always around his birthday.
And you've been to his birthday parties?
I was, yeah.
Jeez, man, that's awesome. So jealous of you. Awesome.
When he was alive, I was at his birthday parties.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests today. Ron, is it Ronnie or Ron? Can I know you as Ronnie, but I want to hear.
You know,
Ron,
you can call me whatever you want.
Okay.
You know, it's a progression. Sharon. It's Ronald, Ronnie.
I hate when people call
Ron.
Me Jay, so that's annoys me. So
I have three names, no matter what. So
okay,
yeah.
Perfect. The old joke was, call me whatever you want, but not late for dinner.
No.
I just actually, can I put a quick little foodie thing?
Whatever you guys want to do.
Just wanted to plug something because, you know, we're all in the spirit of food.
Yeah.
FTA has been working with Attention USA.
Feed the Animals.
Feed the Animals, which is, you know, a social media company that my fiance works for. And we've been working on a series right now with Michelin Guides, you know, plugging some great chefs. And we have the first series out right now with John George and Wiley Dufresne from WD-50. So it's
cool. You should get
check
guys,
it out. It's online.
Have those guys come on online. On the
you should bring Wiley and Wiley.
Feed the Animals.
Yeah. Feed the Animals.
Arthur Schwartz, Ronald, Ronnie Beach, Nick Africano. I want to thank everyone for coming out. This is another episode of The Morning After. We'll be back next week, Sunday, 3 o'clock, live, Heritage Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.